Hello, everyone. This is Steve Lentini, and welcome to my podcast, Different Thinking for Different Times. I'm your host, and this is the fifth season, and I believe it's episode 9. So we've been around a long time, and I'm grateful for the audience and grateful for the fact that people in 19 countries have listened. So I'm hoping we can expand that today. I'm not sure if Norway is included, but my guest today, my very special guest, and I'm going to encourage you to read some of his work and consider your own answers, right? Who's going to question your answers? We've talked about that, but I have as a guest Dr. Torkel Ferro. He's from Norway. That's not how they say it in Norwegian, by the way. And he'll tell you. I don't know. We'll see. But he's written a number of books, and one of them, I really loved The Pulse Cure, and that led me to read The Camera Cure. And I'm going to urge you to consider it, right? You know, I never say follow anyone or anything blindly. Prove it to yourself, and then you own it. And he's got some interesting work that I think for our own health and our own care, even when it comes to the mental aspects, and especially the mental aspects of it, helping us build that authentic presence and living in the now, all the things that we have talked about back and forth. And so I'm going to let Dr. Torkel, who's an MD, tell you more about his life and about both of those books, and I'm going to ask him a lot of questions, so please be patient. Dr. Torkel.
Thank you, Steve. So nice to be here, even if I'm in Norway and you're in Staten Island.
The miracle.
So it's, it's a miracle we can talk to each other, you know, and across the whole Atlantic, you know, and with no delay in our answers and so on.
No.
So just to explain a little bit about myself, my name is Torkel Ferro, as I would say in Norwegian. It's Pharaoh, like in the Faroe Islands. I'm a doctor. I've been working as a doctor for 25 years, all around the country, all around Norway. I work in the north. I'm just back from a two-week work on call in above the Arctic Circle, which is also for me, you know, exotic, and I learned so much being in like a fisherman's villages and living a life that is very different from where I live in Oslo, the capital.
Mm-hmm.
So, and through the years, I've been working as a freelance doctor, working all over the country. So I've seen 50,000 different patients, which is like 1% of the population in Norway that I have, you know, examined. So.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of what makes people sick and also what makes them healthy. And part of what I've seen is because I've been an instructor in photographic workshops, I've seen also not only the sick people, but also the very healthy people, the very active, the very devoted, the very, you know, people with a lot of meaning in their lives, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think if I only worked as a doctor, I would only see half the situation. So I've also seen, okay, what makes you very healthy?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the reason why I wrote The Camera Cure, because I saw that probably patients could learn a lot from photographers, because
mm-hmm.
the way that you approach taking a picture is the same way you approach any problem or any opportunity. So you can translate the way to do things in life from mm-hmm. how to take a picture.
I'm fascinated with that. And you mentioned, you know, looking at the difference between healthy people and sick people, and that in The Camera Cure, part of it helped people become more grounded, right? And to find ways to appreciate life. That was something that I noted in The Camera Cure, and you'll tell us if it's in The Pulse Cure as well. I believe it is, but
yeah.
Tell me about what you did, some of your work led you to in The Camera Cure. What did you discover?
In The Camera Cure, I discovered that my own love of photography, when I started to kind of dissect it or to find out why do I love it, I just found that it's what we are made to do. to hunt for images, to gather images, and to share images with other people, see what have you found and what did you find. So that I've always been particularly interested in photographic workshops, where you are together with, 15, 20 other photographers, and the energy of going out hunting for images and coming back and sharing, it's just felt very, very meaningful. So I started to try to find out, yeah, what is it? And then, of course, hunting, gathering is what our nervous system is made to do. And so I became interested in the nervous system, and the Pulse Cure was kind of an extension of that when I saw that, okay, our autonomic nervous system, our very basic ancient system, that we share with reptiles and all other vertebrates, has a lot more effect on our lives than we knew. Also, more than I knew as a doctor, that the balance in the autonomic nervous system is crucial for good health. It's like the base, the fundamental base of our health, And that has been overlooked pretty much by the medical society. A lot because we haven't had any measure of it. There is no lab test, or we haven't had it. But now we have something called heart rate variability, which is a measure of the state in the autonomic nervous system that you can, that I have a Garmin watch, I have an Oura ring, I have a Whoop band, that tells me about the state of the nervous system, and that has given me a lot of surprises, in the 3 years that I've been using this actively and doing research to present in the book The Pulse Cure. So the Pulse Cure, unfortunately, still only in Norwegian. Hopefully, it will be soon translated into English for everyone to read. And in Norway, it has been on the best-selling charts now for 34 weeks. It was released in January, and it's still like number three or four on the best-selling charts. So it's changing a lot of people's lives, because when you measure this and you see the results, you can more easily adapt and find rest, because often what you thought was restful proved you were not down enough in the restful state.
Well, so there's two things I'm going to ask you. What do you do when you notice a change in your pulse rate, right, from your devices? What's your process? Because it must help you then. It must be a great reminder.
Often I will see if I'm too stressed out, I will do a breathing exercise or exercise. It's just to breathe slower. Maybe breathe in for like 4 seconds and breathe out for 6 seconds. That calms it down. And then other things I can use as well is like cold showers. So being cool, in the temperature inside or with a cold shower or going into the ocean has really a restorative effect on the body. I'm not sure if you have heard of Wim Hof, the Iceman they call him.
No.
It's a strategy to that the cold will affect our nervous system and cool us down, and to the heart rate goes down, you feel more quiet, calm. Even if the cold in itself, when you're in the cold shower or in the cold water, you can feel tense. Afterwards, it kind of lowers the state of the autonomic nervous system.
And what was the name of that work again that you mentioned about the cold?
Wim Hof. It's a
Wim Hof.
Dutch Wim Hof. It's called the Iceman. So
The
he's
Iceman. I'm going to
yeah
make
the
a note of
Iceman.
that.
So he was the one who found out this by himself, and now years later, maybe probably 20 years later, the research is catching up and see that, yeah, you're right, it dampens inflammation. So heat actually increases inflammation, and the cold dampens inflammation. And most of the chronic diseases that we are struggling with in the modern society is inflammation based. It's a state of chronic inflammation that gives heart disease, cancer, dementia, diabetes, all this, a lot of autoimmune diseases. So that's what you're saying, like different thinking for different times, you know. So that we, our modern times, the way we live our lives is almost in every aspect the opposite of what we are evolutionary made for. So what we have to do is we have to think back a bit to push our lives a little bit towards what we naturally are surrounded with, you know, nature, light, sun, movement, this, yeah.
Well, you mentioned stress, and is stress, do you think, related to the underlying cause of a lot of these things? Because a lot of our, well, you had two ideas about stress. One was that there was some optimal levels of stress, and then there was the not so optimal. And so if you want to talk about that a little bit, because I found that fascinating.
Yeah, stress, we are made for a certain amount of stress. You know,
That's what I found fascinating.
our ancestors that succeeded to reproduce, to make us, you know, we are actually, you know, the miracle is that we are the result of like 1.5 billion years of reproductional success. If one of those people in our lineage had failed, we would not be here, you know. So just being here is a miracle, you know. So we stem from the very first cell that divided, you know, all of us, animals, plants, anything, you know. And they survived through being able to stress, to do hard things, you know. So we are made for stress, you know. But we are not. We are made also to relax, to recuperate, to be restored. So the problem now that we are on all the time, you know, we are too much stressed. We are not letting our bodies calm down enough to repair, to because when we're stressed, the body, the immune system thinks that, okay, this guy is in trouble. We don't have time to fix all the small stuff here now. We have to make sure that he survives this fight. You know, he doesn't know. This I call it a fossil. I call it it's a living fossil that we still struggle with, you know, in our brain stem and in our primitive parts of the brain. It's like a living fossil that does not know that I'm stressed because of a deadline, or I'm stressed because of somebody is more popular than me on Instagram, you know, or is giving a bad comment. You know, this ancient system just interprets it as I'm in danger, and we have to protect this guy. And because the immune system is working better when we are resting at night, you know, and then, you know, from until, you know, 5, 10,000 years ago, you know, we at night nothing happened. You know, it was cold, it was dark, you know, it was like 12 hours where the body was calm in the state to. And now we sleep, you know, maybe 6 hours. A lot of people. We eat too long part of the day. You know, we eat breakfast and then we eat all the way until the evening. And we're just not made for that. So the intestines, the GI system, gastrointestinal system is not getting enough time to repair. So for example, they think that 10% of the cells in our GI in our digestive system needs to be replaced or repaired every day. So if you are eating too long part of the day, and at nighttime, you know, it's maybe only 6 hours without food in the system, it's not enough. So we get this inflammation
How
that stems from this body.
long is optimal between
The
meals, right?
optimal,
Especially at night.
yeah, the optimal is to eat. It is not 7-Eleven, but 11-7. You know, it's to start eating at 11 a.m. and to finish eating at maybe 7 p.m. Then you have a 8 hour eating window, and then you would have a 16 hours of a fasting window. You know, and the food that you ate at 7 o'clock is still in the system, 11 o'clock. You know, so it's so the intestines will have like a 12 hour real calm to do its job, and this amount of time will even with a bad, American standard diet or Western standard diet, it will make up a lot of that, for that. So it will keep you healthy even if your diet is suboptimal.
Well, it's fascinating because my pancreas shut down 20 years ago, 21, almost 21 years ago, in the middle of a seminar. And I can tell you, as I think back to what you're saying, I had stress because I had started my own training business. And the idea in my head was it was a license for another company's work, kind of like a franchise, but I think they found their way around that idea with a license until the government said, no, it's a franchise. But while I was licensed, there were no franchise laws. And it became stressful because they had minimums, they had monthly fees. In order to keep the license, you had to do a certain minimum, you had to sell a certain amount of materials. Anyway, so I was stressed, but I can tell you, I didn't give anywhere near that amount of time. I was given like 4 hours between meals, and I was eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And my pancreas shut down with a calcium blockage. Now, you're a doctor, so you know the first thing they asked me was, do you drink a lot? And how many times have you had pancreatitis? I said, I never had it. And they were just bewildered as to what was going on. Now, it led to 100 days in the hospital,
Oh,
60
wow.
days straight, and 40 out of the next 60 before they could do a necrotomy. But in between, of course, I had a near-death experience that people that are listening to the podcast know about. On the fifth day, I flatlined. But I can tell you, as you talk, then that calcium deposit, it turns out I have a calcium blockage in the duct of my pancreas. My pancreas was not didn't have any time to recover.
Yeah, it was working all the time, and not enough time to and probably a lot of carbs, a lot of work for the pancreas, to
Oh, yeah.
do,
Yeah, the quick
more
meals,
than
4 hours,
more
stop. Yeah.
yeah more than it's made for, so it's an overtaxed system. And I'm sure that if you at that time had these instruments, they would, alarm, alarm, alarm. You're running at 150 miles an hour. You need to break down, or you should break before you break down. So it's immensely valuable instruments. The way that they can watch your pulse. Because the pulse will say so much about the internal state. Because you are busy with living your life. You were busy making your business go around. You didn't have time to feel inside, or to adjust. At that time, probably just some adjustments with the sleep, food, could have calmed down the whole situation, so.
Well, it did lead to a miracle, which I'm grateful for every day. And if I had another life, I'd probably say, if I was that stuck, I would probably say, if that's what it took to wake me up in life, I would ask for it again. And maybe just a few days, not 100 days, and 6 months out of work. But so what do you recommend from the study? 'Cause I'm so fascinated because my head is filled with, there's the devices that help you, but it reminds you to get grounded, breathe, take a break, right? To get back to a relaxed state, which, this thing has got people looking at it 24/7. But it also led to states of what I would say the authentic states. I mean, you talked about finding a calling, right? And finding the work that you loved. And years ago, you went to the doctor. That wasn't the first thing they asked you. Are you doing work that you love? Have you found your calling? And we're still not doing that. So talk a little bit about that aspect of it, which to me is metaphysical and it's physical. I tell people when they say doctors are not divine, it's not from God, I'm going to heal myself with God. There's nothing that's not divine in my experience, right? Being on the other side, nothing is not divine. And to have inspired doctors and people in the medical profession that are willing to learn and grow and come up with new ideas following perhaps their prompts and their calling to help others. I mean, there's nothing more divine than that, in my opinion. But talk about some of the other things that you discovered and or recommend.
Yeah, what I often discovered was that people who were sick, who were depressed, you know, if you ask them, yeah, what do you like to do? What is like you feel like here's your purpose in life? What makes your heart beat faster, you know, with excitement? And they often didn't have that, you know, they would have to think for a long time about, yeah, what do I want to do? You know, they couldn't answer this. And then as I noticed that people who had a lot of meaning and purpose in life, they were more healthy. I would rather tend to find them in the photographic workshop than in the doctor's office, you know? So you saw that these
I love
two,
that.
I see these people here and these people here the next week, you know, that when I'm working as a doctor. So I just found that finding a purpose, finding your meaning in life is healthy.
Yeah.
You know, it's and not finding it and living by other people's meanings, you know, doing what the other people like is their agenda and not yours. That's really unhealthy.
Mm.
So the most unhealthy people, they are living under other people's demands, you know, the society's
yeah.
demands and not their own. So
yeah.
So just finding out what is your purpose, what you know, you have probably 80, you know, if you're average, you know, you have like 80 years to live, you know, how what do you fill them with, you know?
At 71,
so,
I'm hoping it's a few more than that, but I didn't,
yeah.
The first time it occurred where I was 1 second here and the next second gone, I was given no forewarning. I was given no notice, right? The universe didn't say, today, Steve,
yeah.
is your day. You're coming home.
Yeah, you know, I've witnessed flatliners in my office. You know, they're just gone. They're just talking to you, and then the next second they're gone. There's no warning. They're suddenly lying on the floor. You know,
wow.
And then of course we have our ways to get them back. You know, and if I when I see it, you know, they're usually fast enough to get them started again. You know, if you're in the hospital. But yeah, you get no warning, you know, suddenly you're, we never have any guarantees, you know, I might be dead tomorrow, you know, so I might not wake up, you know, so every morning that you wake up and breathe, you know, it's a good day, you know, it's a miracle.
It's a good
you know?
Day, right.
So the miracle is not something supernatural, you know, the miracle is that your body is working, that all the processes inside our bodies at any given moment, you know, the millions of metabolic transactions, you know, the hormones, everything is working.
Mm-hmm.
That's a miracle. You know, you don't have to look for miracles. They're all over, you know.
Well, and you wrote about that when we're doing what we love, something that takes us away from the moment that we're so fully into, it actually helps our hormones. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of people who are sick, you know, they get very self-absorbed, you know, they're inside their own brains, in their own minds, and their own problems fill up their whole world, you know, and just going out with a camera, looking outside to what's in the external world, you know, you can't, the mind is so nice, you know, you can't do the both at the same time. You can't go out photographing for something and still remember or think about some frustration, you know. So at least for that time that you're out photographing something, this acorn that you talk about, you know, it's out of the question, you know, it's gone, you know, for that time, you know, and that has some value, you know.
And in the Pulse Cure, you also mentioned some of the benefits of things that I guess would say take us out of that brain.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about what you found in the Pulse Cure and what you're finding, because I'm sure your research is ongoing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ongoing, and especially now with all the people contacting me after the success of the book, I get an insight, a glimpse of so many people's nervous systems, and also that, and that's very important that everybody's nervous system is different, you know. So that's also what the medical profession is doing a lot of wrong, because they're going after averages. And when we use these instruments, we see that we're not average, you know. So what would help the average person is not necessarily what would help you. So this is a way to individualize what is working for you and what is not working for you. And what we find is that when we thought we were relaxing, we were there was another level beneath that. It was another restful level. It's another league, you know, with
And how do people
beneath that
reach
level.
that next level, that other league down below what we think is resting?
It often takes more time, you know. It often takes that you slow down, really, and but just by sleeping more, just by sleeping 7 to 8 hours of restful sleep, that's the first chapter of the pulse cure. Once that's the basis, so good sleep will do a lot of things, you know. And the next is enough movement, and I'm not talking exercise, because movement is enough. That you don't sit the whole day. That you make sure that you move, you know, maybe every half hour or so for a minute or two, just to get the fluids going, you know, because the heart, the lymph system, the circulation is made for a certain amount of help. It was not evolved for hunter-gatherers sitting down or lying down around the clock, you know. So it's
Should we
if
both get
it
up and walk around our chair now to set a good
yeah
example?
yeah we should we should
Let's do
let's do it. yeah
We're walking around our
yeah
chair.
yeah yeah So that's good. It's important, yeah. So now we
So
help
many people today don't. And now
and they
there's
don't.
working from home, so they're sitting in front of their computer for hours.
Yeah, and that's also what the watch will say, move, you know, and the
Oh, I
ring
love
will be
that.
a bit more polite. It will say, is it time to stretch your legs a bit? You know, so it's a bit more, this is a bit more move, he says, you know, with a move,
I like that.
and yeah, so
Now,
because you have to move.
where do you get the ring in the watch?
The watch is a Garmin watches. That's a U.S. Company, you know,
Mm-hmm.
and all Garmin watches, you know, down to probably $120 is good enough. So this is accessible for, you could probably buy secondhand also if 120 is too much, but it's available for everyone. Oura Ring is it's a Finnish product. It's Oura, Oura Ring. It's a Finnish product. They're very good for sleep. So the function on sleep and finding out how much REM sleep do you get, how much deep sleep do you get, that is by far the best for sleep.
I love
And then you
that.
have Whoop, also another American company, with a great podcast. So they are quite good at research. Whoop, a lot of people
Yeah,
use it, you know.
W-O.
Michael Phelps, yeah, WHOOP, and they
Okay.
have a great podcast, you know, telling everything about how to exercise, how to rest, how to sleep, you know. So there's now so much research on this, you know, almost in every condition you could think of. If you Google it, plus heart rate variability, you'll find lots of studies, because this is now, from being an overlooked thing about the autonomic nervous system, it's now incorporated in so many studies, because it's so easy to get, you know. You just put on some device, and then you will get the results, you know.
And you
So
call that plus heart rate what?
yeah, heart rate variability. So what this,
Variability.
yeah. So what they do is they measure the heart rate in milliseconds. And when we are in a restful state, When we breathe in, the heart will beat faster to make advantage of the more oxygen in your lungs. It will beat a bit faster, just a tiny bit faster. And then when you breathe out, there's a bit less oxygen in your lungs. The heart will relax a bit. And when you're in a stressful state, it will beat at a very steady state all the time, like a clock, like a watch. And that is the difference that these devices will pick up. So if you're in a restful state, the heartbeat will vary like a waveform on the ocean. And in a stressful state, like a very, very precise. So this is called heart rate variability. And this state of rest will save in a lifetime. It will save you for 350 million heartbeats. So from any moment to the next, it doesn't matter much, but over a lifetime, it will amount to like everything.
You know, at 71, I'm counting down. Most of the listeners are probably counting up still in life. But to get a few extra beats, because I'm so excited to have this second chance at life, it's certainly something that I'm going to do. And I'm encouraging my listeners to at least consider it, right? Overcome your acorn brain that's telling you, oh, I'm not going to do all this stuff. Okay, keep doing what you're doing. Just don't expect a different result, as Einstein said.
You must change in small ways more things in your life. Just change the sleep a little bit, move a little bit more or less if you're overreaching, overtraining. And less alcohol. Alcohol is very stressful. Alcohol is what Whoop, which is so good at the research, says that alcohol is by far the most stressful thing for your nervous system. Alcohol is like stress in a bottle. So it's that is
A lot of people don't know
what
that.
I think the amount of people reducing their alcohol when people get the Whoop bands is like 75%,
Wow.
without being told. They just say, "Wow, is it this hard on the body? Okay, then I need to calm down." Because what's happening is that the alcohol in itself will calm you down, and then but the problem occurs after you fall asleep. Because then alcohol is transformed into acetaldehyde, and that is very poisonous. And your liver and your whole body is struggling hard to get this poison out of your body while you're
Wow.
sleeping,
Wow.
So it's
That's a
like a,
great way to look at it.
so it's a kind of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of thing, with
Well,
kind of.
alcohol is marketed with two people sitting in a beach chair watching the ocean or in a balcony watching the sunset with a glass of wine between them.
And actually
Like
that's
it's
what
a
I
cure.
did that's what I did as well, because I had a lecture for your friend Paul, and on that day, I had that was my birthday actually, so I had like 3 or 4 glasses of wine, and the graphs, the curves from my watch show that I was really in a blissful state, and then in the night, terrible, terrible, terrible stress, so I had to go up in the swimming pool the day after to cool down. So I what you can do, if you feel bad after too much alcohol, you can actually use the cold to get the inflammation down. The alcohol, what it does is it makes a lot of inflammation in your body, but with the long cold swim, you can get it down. So that would be the best thing for a hangover, would be a cold, really
Get
cold
cold.
shower. Cold,
Well, and the Iceman seems to be the roots for a lot of people who are doing the cold shower thing these days. So
And
it seems to be coming more to the forefront.
So what, and now, what was considered alternative medicine, is a lot of it is now, they find the evidence in the heart rate variability. They find that calming down your body in whatever way improves your immune system. So it's It's medicine in the way that it allows your innate immune system to work properly. If you're overstressed, you're keeping your immune system down, and then you need medicine, you know.
Well, a couple of things here for me. We need the book in English and get you on the Today Show in or Good Morning America or Fox News, the 5 at night. We need to get you in front of the public. And do you find it becoming more of a mainstream conversation? I mean, a lot of people have bought your book, so that has to help. But are you finding it becoming more of a mainstream conversation with other medical professionals?
Yeah. So a lot of other medical professions are taking this to heart, you know, because they see, okay, because they can show that what they're doing is working. If it's working, you will see the difference in the heart rate variability. If it doesn't work, it will be the same. So the doctors, they are often on this a bit behind, really. So they haven't really caught up. But you will see the results at once, you know, after 1 week using these instruments, you will see and feel and experience it yourself. So even if, you know, a lot of the good things is that it will lower the chance of getting cancer, getting heart disease, getting dementia, and a lot of these serious diseases. But you will also feel more wellness. You will feel more energy, more surplus energy. And then it's easier to stay motivated. It's easier to motivate yourself for the cold shower when you see on the watch that it has a good effect on you.
Well, and that
Because
extra
it's
energy.
because this is kind of the inner sense that we don't have, you know, because ours. The threats have always come from the outside in our evolutionary history, you know, from lions and snakes and other tribes, you know. So our eyesight, our listening, our smell, our taste, our to tactile, to feel something, has been prioritized because the dangers are from the outside, but now the dangers are from the inside, you know, from the inside, and we haven't developed a sense for this. You know, so this is kind of a
It's true.
something that will, like a fever, like a thermometer. You know, this is like a sixth sense. You know, for your system.
Well, and you know, I always tell my listeners to prove anything to themselves, to try something. I've been talking about self-observation, for example. Just try it. Try observing what triggers you, who triggers you, and you don't have to do anything else because at some point in time, you'll clearly see the choices you've made by when you've reacted, and when you breathe and slow down, you'll find a response to a trigger instead of a reaction. And I encourage them to prove it to themselves. This is something that I, you know, really love about what you're talking about is that they can prove it to themselves and they have some tools readily available to help them see the difference. I love that.
Yeah, and a lot of people who are too much stressed out, you know, who lead too stressful life are the ones who are not so good at paying attention to this. You know, they are the ones who really need it, you know. So some people are in tune with their bodies, yeah, but the ones who are the least in tune with their bodies, they really need it. And they are the ones with a, you know, they're so happy, you know, with this book and this way of solving this, yeah.
I think both books, people should get both books and look at the camera cure if it's a fit for them. I happen to paint, but I used to take pictures and I loved it. And you look at society today, the society's encouraging it with TikTok, Instagram, Facebook posts, Twitter, which is now called X. People are out there taking photos and uploading them.
Everybody's taking pictures now, and everybody's not only taking pictures, but they're publishers, you know, they see of their own pictures, you know, on Facebook, on Instagram, on TikTok, you know, so So when I started
Love
photography,
it.
when I was like 20 years old, traveling around the world, I was and coming home and to the like amateur photography society, it was like something that weird people did, going out taking pictures, going to develop it for a lot of
That was true in my
money,
time as well.
So, but that
Today it's
changed, with
not. It's
digital
more
photography.
mainstream.
Your grandma or great grandma is photographing, and the kids, so the camera is always in your pocket now, and everybody knows how to do it. The technology is so nice that it will adjust for difficult lighting and so on. So that's why the camera gear is also so nice, because it's so accessible. Everybody has a camera. Everybody's used to doing it. You just have to use it in a more deliberate way. So the camera gear is really, 55 different exercises that teaches you different aspects of problem solving. How to, for example, to either take control or let the control go. Can you control this situation? Because I see so many patients. They use so much energy trying to control something that can't be controlled, and that energy and time takes away from what they actually can control. So and this is the same in
And
photography as well.
time from their life.
And frustration. So this task, in the camera queue would be, okay, can you take control of a situation, and another sit can you let go of the control? Can you just see whatever happens? And just so just to be aware of this aspect of control in your life, so can you control it? Yes, okay, then you do that. Can you not control it? Okay, let it go.
Letting go is such value. There's something else that intrigued me was that you mentioned in the pulse cure, and maybe it's in the camera cure too, but that as you change your body as a result of the cure, the pulse cure, people can feel more energized, and then it helps them lift out of depression and find the energy where they recognize the things they really love to do. And they find that calling or that thing that takes them away. And what holds them back is the lack of the energy to begin with. I mean, that's enough to me, enough motivation to test it, to do it.
Because they are kind of leaking energy. Because when you start using the devices, you see that you're leaking energy from activities that you didn't know that this was leaking energy, sapping you from energy that you need to produce, to perform. So whenever you stop, it's like the tap just running. So whenever you find them and you stop these taps from just leaking, you get more energy for what you really want to spend the energy. So this is to be in balance. It's not to be lazy or it's to be able to be balanced so that you can use the energy that you save for what you really want to spend it on. So for businesses, for leaders, businesses, this is gold. The leaders will be in balance. Well, they're better slept, better able to make decisions, and their employees will because a stressed leader will it's contagious. We actually have senses in our paranasal sinuses and in our skin for the stress level of other people. So when your boss comes in and have slept
Feel it.
poorly that night and is coming in, the stress will just dissipate all over the boardroom, so especially for leaders, especially for companies and businesses, this is millions, to be saved in sickness leaves, and also in productivity,
So, Torkel, Dr. Torkel, how long does it take for people to notice it? So, let's say people go out tomorrow and get the Oura Ring, the Garmin, the Whoop device, How long does it take before they start to see a difference, that energy level, that it is truly making a difference? Because to me, what they're becoming aware of, it's part of self-observation. They're becoming aware of where their body gets stressed, which could be due to triggers that they've trained themselves over the years to respond in a certain way. But aside from that, that's me trying to horn in here. Is how long in your experience does it take where they start to see a
Very,
difference?
very fast, within a week or two. Within a week or two, they will see where they're at. They will they, and they will I've not been I've not heard anyone who has not find anything surprising. So you will see where you're at, and of course a lot of people will see that, oh, no wonder I feel so bad. No wonder I had this trouble. You see it, and also that is something that helps them towards the doctor, because often there's no lab tests. They will go to the doctor and the doctor says it's all fine. We checked your liver and kidney and everything is fine, and your blood pressure is fine. But finally they see the result that, okay, this explains it. This tells me and my doctor why I have so much trouble, why I'm so often sick, why I don't feel the energy, and then it can be a bit hard to find out, because then they have a much bigger job to do, to disentangle the mess, but most people who are averagely stressed, they will immediately see that, okay, a late meal, if you go to a hamburger restaurant, for example, in a late meal, that will just destroy your sleep. And then they will see that the next day, but they didn't have that, they will say, oh, this is good sleep, and they feel it, they just never thought, of course, like I did, that it was the late burger that wrecked the sleep. Who would think that, so now with the instrument they will see, oh, so this is a good night, and what did I do before that? Well, I did this. Okay, let's try to do this again, and this way they quite fast that will find a way. But also, and also somebody will see that no matter what they do, the autonomic nervous system is so off the so wrecked, so they off the charts, so they'll have a big job no matter what they do. It's still pounding away at the high level. So somebody for somebody it's a much longer way. They will take maybe months to clear up the mess, but most, 80% of people will find a solution and improve their quality of life within a week or two.
Wow, that's great. You know, I can tell you mentioned
And
something
Paul,
about
your friend, Paul, our friend, he said it. He uses the Apple Watch. Okay, you can also, a lot of people use the Apple Watch, and there's an app called Welltory, Welltory, that is also helpful. Not as helpful as the Garmin watches and so on, but absolutely, it's helpful.
Well, and when you mentioned blood tests and the standard testing, I had all those standard testing up until I was 50, which was the month before the event happened in 2018, on November 18th. I had all the normal blood tests, and none of that what showed up because I didn't even know I was stressed.
And
People would
I'm
say,
very sure
"How's your stress
if you
level?"
had
And I'd
the
say, "I'm great."
yeah and I'm sure if you had the if you had the watches, it will have been sounding big alarms. You would have the red curves, for months.
Were
And and
people
what
even talking
I
about it 20 years ago, though? Were people even talking about it
No, they weren't
20 years
talking
ago?
about it. The doctors were they were not talking about sleep, they were not talking about diet, they were not talking about exercise. They were not talking about the circadian rhythm. They were not talking about what you could do to improve your health almost at all. We did not learn anything about that in school and in doctor school. But now the knowledge is getting so fast out there, thanks to you podcasters, and that when the yeah and that's probably a good thing about COVID, that there were so many podcasts growing up, and that medical knowledge now is just pouring out, and it's not pouring out from the professors and down, you know, it's not trickling down from the top. It's just spreading like wildfires among people, you know. So if you're interested in health now, and just listen to like Mark Hyman or Peter Attia or Rangan Chatterjee, the Feel Better Live More podcast, to the Rich Roll podcast. So if you listen to a few of these podcasts over a month or so, you will learn more than most doctors know about these things, you know.
Now you mentioned diet. Is there now? I'm sure with the tools, people can self change their diet and notice the difference. But is there a diet or a regimen that you recommend, or what you've noticed for yourself? Anything you're willing to talk about? We don't want to start with Weight Watchers.
I actually found out. I found out that my curves were worse than I would expect. So I took some extra, you know, tests that the normal doctor, at least here in Norway, would not have, you know, in their offices. You have to do it privately, and that showed that I have low tolerance for gluten and milk. Yeah. So once I could get the bread out, you know, white bread, you know, bakery stuff, you know, and the milk products, it was a lot easier. So that was for me, and that's what a lot of people find as well. And sugar and fast carbohydrates, absolutely a trigger for so many people. And of course, really, when you see that this carb-rich meal is hurting me, obviously, you know, with the numbers, it's easier to not take that donut, you know,
Cut
and
it out.
to take the apple instead of the donut, you know, when you see the results immediately, you know. So
Having
diet
less
is a big part of it, yeah.
and having less than 10% of my pancreas, although what was remaining, the doctor could say, I don't know how much you have left, but he said, fortunately, it's in the tail. So you'll probably make some insulin. And I did for until maybe this year. I did
All
make
right.
some insulin. Now I'm categorized as type 1, but I have the devices that automatically monitor, and they automatically deliver the miracle of today. It automatically delivers insulin,
I
but
have
I
one as
can.
well. I have one as well. You know,
Oh, okay.
just the device,
The
you know,
read.
the continuous glucose meter. And today, and on my Instagram, unfortunately, it's only in Norwegian, but I also show the results. And today, I wanted to take four slices of bread. You know how long the blood sugar was elevated?
All
Five and a
day,
half hours. Five
one
and
and
a
a half
half
hour.
hours, you know. Four slices of bread with some cheese on it. And of course, when you see that, you know, then you think you go for the eggs next time, you know. Eggs and nuts or something that doesn't raise the blood sugar so much, you know. Because insulin resistance and high blood sugar is a driver of many of these chronic diseases, chronic inflammation. So if you get control of your stress levels and control of your blood glucose, you're in a good place, you know. So insulin resistance and high blood sugar is really, they find now that cancer is a metabolic disease. You know, they have been searching for the genetic code for it. They haven't found it, you know, even with all the money that they put into it. But it seems like it's the metabolic disease. It's the way that cells react. They regress into an ancient way. You know, is that they regress to a state more like bacteria's with uncontrolled growth, and it's the way that the differentiated cell reacts when it's metabolically imbalanced, you know, with too much carbohydrates. So it
Too
just
much stimulation.
returns to an old scheme, you know, and starts acting like an uncontrolled cell. So once you get control of your blood sugar, you really reduce the risk of cancer.
I notice even with a keto bagel or keto bread, I notice that there's maybe an hour and a half, 2 hour spike in my glucose reading, in my sugar reading. Glucose levels, and then if I ever right a few days ago I decided to just have the old fashioned everything bagel with some cream cheese, and that was 5 6 hours even
That's
with the
five, 6 hours.
insulin added in. Yeah, 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 yeah. The acorn brain takes me over every once in a while, and I
But
follow that
the
logic.
nuts inside the acorn, is very, it's a lot of proteins, and fat, so it's and eggs, eggs are also great food, if you're a diabetic, because eggs is and that's what the doctors were wrong, that they said that the eggs are cholesterol
Bad.
is dangerous for, it's just not true, and it's almost obvious because the egg is everything that the chicken needs, to become a chicken. We are so related. I mean, we probably have like 70% of the genes or more in common with chicken. So of course it's a good nutrition for us humans as well.
It has been. Most of my diet is eggs and nuts and salad and
Ah,
chicken.
great.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. And when you have to use insulin every day, I track how much I'm loading into the device because it automatically puts it in now. It's connected to the glucose reader, and I'm fascinated with diet led to much less insulin.
I really get so, and it's so good that you're sharing it and telling it to the world, because your experience with the flatliner, makes it so that it's like post-traumatic growth, but for everybody else, it's a post-traumatic growth by proxy,
If they listen.
if they listen. But because one of the experiences of my childhood that I think has been in my mind every time since I was like 12, 13 years, was I was reading one of these women's magazines, this stories from the reality, stories from life, and one person said that only when I got diagnosed and I had half a year left to live, I understood what was important in life, and I thought, I'm not going to wait for that, and I'm going to find out now and do it, so it's the other person's post-traumatic growth became my post-traumatic growth as well, by learning about it.
And that's my wish and my work, and your work, it ties in so well because it challenges the learned thinking. And then it challenges the acorn brain, the small-minded thinker that says, I'm not stressed. I just got to pour on. And, if I sleep 3 hours a day, I can work for 5 more hours a day. And I've met some people that say they can only sleep 2 or 3 hours or 4 hours a night.
And the risk of dementia is super high, with that kind of sleep, because you need the 7 to 8 hours of sleep, and what the doctors have found out is that in sleep, what's important is that the brain cells shrinks a bit, so that the how do you say the toxins or the work from the cell work from the day can get out. So all the brain cells shrink and makes what they call the glymphatic system that they didn't know existed until recently. That just the way all the I'm not sure what they call it, if it's toxins or whatever the material after the day's work of the brain cells goes out. The brain cells have so many mitochondria. So the mitochondria in the brain is 40% of the weight of the brain is mitochondria, and they are working super hard, and they wait until it's safe at night, evolutionary, to fix it, when we were asleep, so if you're still awake and only letting 3, 4 hours, all this trash is in your brain, it just
Doesn't get out.
clogs up your brain, really.
Well, that
So
makes sense to me.
sleep is number one. Yeah, it's most important.
I've done better with that in the last 4 or 5 years, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Another thought that came to me, you talked about the heart having, to gain so many more beats. It sounds like the engine in my car has 194,000 miles on it, and I take good care of it, and it's running well. And if we take good care of our heart, we're going to get more mileage out of it, so to
Yeah,
speak.
more mileage. And same with the car, as long as it gets, it needs more attention, it needs more care, to keep it running. So, and earlier we used to think that, okay, if you're like 70, it doesn't matter so much what you do, but now they say that then it's really what matters,
Really
then
matter.
it's then you really with adapting this good lifestyle will like double the rest of your life, in years. So there's recently been a research from American veterans. More than 700,000 American veterans have been followed for like 30 years, and they found out the ones that did the good lifestyle things that's in the Paul's Cure, and other places, lived 24 years longer than the ones who
Wow.
did not do them.
Wow.
So there,
Wow.
there's a it's not just a half a year or two, it's a substantial amount of extra healthy years also, So a lot of people think, when I talk about longevity, they say, "Oh, well, who would want to live so long? You see, you're just in the old people's home, or I don't know what you call it anyway, in the bed, just being in the vegetative state, but that's not true, in my if you keep your health, you're healthy longer, your health span is also longer, as well as your years. So,
Yeah, the enjoyable years because you've taken care of it. It makes a lot of sense, right? It sounds like very common sense that take care of yourself and you'll live even into old age working relatively well, right? The mechanics of this body is very similar to anything else that's mechanical. I mean, we're not mechanical, but it takes a similar approach.
Yeah, you must have a strong heart, you must have a clean pipes, with the blood, your arteries, and if you do that and keep your arteries clean and your heart strong, and your muscles also, your muscles, because they see that when you use your muscles, you are releasing something called myokines. You're releasing proteins that works in your brain to make better connections. So everything in the body is connected, when you make sure that you have muscles, it's the best thing for your brain as well.
I
So,
love that.
so.
I love that. Partly because I started going to the gym regularly in January.
Yeah,
Not
sure.
after New Year's, because a lot of people commit as a New Year's resolution, but I joined last September and I said, I'm going to wait until like the middle of January. And I didn't. I've been going 5, 6 days, some days, some weeks 7, some weeks 3, depending on my schedule. But it's been fascinating how much better I feel.
Yeah, you feel better, you because a lot of what we call mental disease or depression and so on, it's the way that your brain cells, it's the symptoms of brain cells that are not healthy. You don't get pain in your, like in other cells you would get pain, but your brain has no pain receptors, or so like brain fog, being in a low mood, that is your brain on the bad gasoline, it's so once you start using your body, once you start improving those cells, these things lift away. So that's why exercise and movement is some of the best things to do against depression or any mental symptoms, really. So,
Now, the camera cure is available in English.
yeah, but it's not. We have translated it, and we have also very soon translated the Paul's Cure just by in 1 or 2 weeks. But we haven't found a publisher yet, so we're searching for a publisher. This publisher in Norway is the biggest Norwegian publisher, so it comes from a big publishing company here. So in the big book fair in Frankfurt, later in October, we hope to find publisher for it. We're
Good. Oh.
actually just in one month releasing also something called the Pulse Cure Journal. It will
Oh,
look
great.
very much like the Pulse Cure, but it's a journal where you can write in your numbers. You can make a plan for the day. Yeah, in the evening you write how the day went, and you write the numbers that you get, from the devices. So that's, I think it's very useful to write down and get some overview of what is helping you. And then it's also a book where you because it's all about habits, so your habit of going to the gym, to start small, manageable, sustainable habits that you can have for a long, long time, for many years. So in the Pulse Cure Journal, it's also suggestions for habits for every like 4 weeks period, where you test the habit and see how does it change your readings,
I love that.
So I think it's an
Because people can
important tool.
prove it to themselves, and that is, then people own it. They own the idea. I love that approach, and I recommend it to everybody who listens. And
Yeah,
I
so I
hope we
genuinely just hope that we'll
help a
find
couple of
the publisher. Yeah, it should be, because I think the same way that it has been embraced by people here in Norway, it would be also in other countries. And this is actually the world's first how-to guidebook on how to use these ones. We searched for it, we could not find it, that there is another guidebook like this on the subject. So.
Well, and for Americans, we're so device orientated. I mean, people are lining up at the Apple stores for hours waiting for the next device, and they were doing that for the last device. So I think that, this is a natural for this society because we love the different devices, or at
And
least
this
our
is
devices.
and this is artificial intelligence, so this is artificial intelligence that uses your heartbeat to find the state in your body. They have collected readings from millions of people, of Americans, and have found out. So you use your intelligence, because you have to use the readings in your life, to use, okay, what's happening in my life, and then compare it with what the artificial intelligence tells you, that the artificial intelligence know and you don't know. And you combine it with what you know, and the watches don't know, So this combination is the really important thing to be able to improve your life, to be able to improve your health and take responsibility of your health. And in Norway, healthcare is free. So even if you get sick, it's only bad for your body, but not your wallet. But for Americans, the being able to not use the healthcare system is so expensive. I've heard that you can really get ruined by getting sick. It's a lot more at stake, So this is a kind of an insurance to keep you fit, to keep you healthy, over a long,
It's
long
not
time.
another good reason to use it. I mean, once, I'm at the Medicare age, and so I'm only liable for a certain level. I think it's $8,500 in total each year. But still, for some, I'm not retired. I'm not retiring. John Maxwell is one of my certifications. I love his work. And he says, you don't retire from a calling, right? Which, to your point about finding the things we love to do. And so I'm going to be doing this until maybe I'm on a podcast and somebody says, Steve, oh my, he passed to what's next? Because I call it what's next. I don't call it death, because it was literally 1 second here, the next second, one with everything and nothing. But I can tell you that I love what you're doing, and I think it really is a great fit for America. And I'll be mentioning it to everybody I know.
Oh,
I'm going to
thanks a
put it
lot.
on my Twitter page as soon as you're ready. I'll post it. Now, I don't have a million followers.
I
I have
mean,
11,500, but if what I like to do is if one person can get help or two people, because that multiplies. Because to your point, they talk about it and it becomes from the ground up the change.
Yeah. And I also made, you know, I made the lecture I held for Paul, because I held a lecture at this retreat in Mallorca. And Paul said, oh, everybody should know about this, you know. And the lecture I have made on YouTube. So I can give you the YouTube, so then you can see the lecture. And it's in English that will explain more hands-on how to use this, you know.
I'm really grateful that I got to know you on a different level. I'd like to say that maybe we could do this a few times a year until I'm 90 or 95 or 100, whenever I get called home again.
Because you was never retired. You know, that was what I wanted to say. I remember. You don't want to retire. You know, retiring is dangerous. You know, you really need to. You maybe need to adapt to the amount of work, but you should never retire, you know. And if you want to retire from a job, you know, you're in the wrong job. So you need to rather just work at the level that is sustainable at any given age, you know, but never stop. And the blue zones, you know, you probably heard of the blue zones. It's the places in the world where people live the longest. They don't retire. They keep. I just saw this day today on Instagram.
I saw a picture that you had in there with the blues in the camera cure. And so say a little more about that. They're working all their life.
The blue zones, they work all their lives, and I saw today a picture of a 170-year-old barber. You know.
Wow.
So one thing about the blue zones, so the blue zones is what the adventurer Dan Buettner found. He said, let's do reverse engineering, you know. So this is what the medical society has been so poor at, you know. If you have survived like a deadly disease or something, they're not interested, you know. You're just an anecdote, you know. You're an outlier, you know. You don't fit in. So it was, of course, it was not the doctor who found out how to do things, this reverse engineering. He said, okay, in which places in the world do people live the longest? And he found these zones, and he just ringed it around with blue. That's why they call blue zones. It's just on the world map, you just, you know, put the blue ring around it. So they're in Sardinia, they're in Icaria in Greece, they're in Loma Linda in California, they're in Costa Rica. They're in some places in the world, and what they have in common, you know, is the things from the pulse cure. They move, they sleep, they do meaningful things. They have a reason to wake up in the morning. They rest. Mm-hmm. They eat mostly plant based food. Mm-hmm. Drink little alcohol, and live kind of in a natural rhythm within nature, because also. Being in touch with nature is also very important. You know, there are the trees, they release particles that we take in and use, you know. So there's a lot of research showing that the nearer, the closer you live to green space, the healthier you are, you know, also mentally. So there's a lot to learn from these outliers who live so long, you know. And one of them is don't retire. So maybe when you're 90, we will still be talking here, you know. I love that. You know, it's been a really great conversation. I've been looking forward to this to talk to you.
So me too. So. Where can people get the book now if they can read Norwegian?
If they can read Norwegian, they can probably find it. I think we have a website called pulskuren.no, which is pulskuren is the pulse cure in Norwegian. I think we will try to make an English page there where I will make this lecture that I told you about, and maybe some other courses as well, because we don't have the rights to release the English book, you know. But I would have the right to make
An
a
English
video
page.
course, you know, a video course that I should be able to make within a couple of months, I think. I'm actually recording a video course right now in Norwegian, and I could translate it and make an English version of it. I should be able to do that within like 3 months.
I look forward to that, and I'll publish that and share it with as many people as I can, and my friends and loved ones especially. And then before we go, I do have we'll edit this little piece out, but you have to leave your window open on your computer until Riverside tells you it's complete.
All right,
Okay.
I've tried this
Other
before.
than that, I lose your track. Then it's just me talking with nobody answering.
That would be
All right, so we'll go back because we're going to cut that piece out. So, Dr. Torkel, tell us something. Leave the audience with a message that you think is really critical.
The really critical message is that you can be in charge of your health. You can do smart things that makes your life better in the moment, in the here and now, but also makes the chances of living a long life and a good life, you know, possible. It is possible. We know now what to do. Yeah. So no, the knowledge is out there.
Well, and for me is to add in a life filled with energy because you're taking care of your body, which that energy gives you the extra what's required to do what you love, right? So that if you don't have the energy and you're feeling low and depressed, your brain is telling you, and we've talked about this a little bit, the acorn brain is telling you, ah, skip it today. And you don't feel like doing it. And maybe you believe some of the thoughts that say, who you? You're not entitled. You don't deserve it. All that crazy thought that is not true. And I've had those thoughts. I confess that to my audience all the time. And so finding that extra energy can be a great motivator, which you talked about. And I think that is also part of it. And I'm really grateful that I found you through Paul and you found me and that you're doing this work. I really think it's important. And whatever I can do in my lifetime, what's remaining, I'm going to make
The 20
sure.
years.
Well, I'm getting the devices and the Aura ring and the Whoop watch
The
and
most important is the Garmin.
the
Okay, the
Garmin.
most
Okay.
important and cheapest also is the Garmin.
Okay. Well, I'll start with the Garmin and the Aura ring, and I'll update you as to what
Fantastic, fantastic.
what
It's
I
been great
discovered.
talking to you, you know.
So, everyone, we're going to end this video, and we're grateful that we met Dr. Torkel. You're going to be grateful, and is his name, if you will say it again in Norwegian, I love it.
Torkil Færø.
Faro, right? And I didn't say it right. Dr. Faro, it's been a pleasure. I'm so grateful we met, and I'm going to help and do whatever I can. I don't have the 4 million audience, but maybe it'll happen together.
Thank you so much, so much,
You're
Steve.
welcome. All right, doctor. Now, I have to find, here we go, leave studio. And if you
Don't
stay on,
stay. Don't leave.
don't close, right? I'm not going to do it either. I learned the hard way.
That's the
Thank
worst
you.
thing, you know. When you do. I've been on the podcast. I was ruined, you know. It was, it hurts, you know. Because you
It's
put
a
so much
learning
into
curve.
it, you know.
And I'm going to send you the information on Jen Carey, Jennifer Carey. She's got a great podcast. I'll send you the link to it and you can tell me yes or no if you want to meet her. I think it's a fit, but I'm leaving that to you.
I'm sure I would, you know. So that would be great, yeah. And so
All right.
I'll send you also the link to the YouTube lecture also. I'll send you.
I have one link.
Yeah, but
That's probably.
it's to Canva. So now I put it up today. I put it up on YouTube.
Oh, Okay.
so that you
Okay.
can, it's available there, so.
All right, send me that link. You'll see when I get this edited, you'll see this and you'll see it on the podcast and hear it.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you again.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.